be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions, and so he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here and stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
An extraordinary scene in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus had gone there to a synagogue on the Sabbath to emphasize one of the principal aspects of his mission in redeeming us, to restore true worship against the distortions of what had occurred by the scribes and the Pharisees. They had erected a fence so far outside what God had said that they began to miss the point of what God had said in the core. And rather than seeing the Lord's Day as a day to help them to learn how to love God with all their mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to truly love their neighbor, they began to look at the Sabbath as an opportunity to go to the synagogue to try to trap Jesus, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. They weren't even paying attention to God anymore. They were trying to ensnare someone. Jesus saw this man with a withered hand. It was a dried up hand in the Greek. One of the apocryphal gospels says that this was a mason who had been injured, and so he could no longer work, he could no longer provide. Doubtless was coming to the synagogue to ask God for some help, to provide for his family, to fulfill his responsibilities, etc. Jesus looked at him with compassion. He also saw what was happening in the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus realized their intentions. And so out of love for this man with the withered hand, and out of love for those who had hardened hearts toward this man, Jesus called the man up before them. He wanted everyone to look on this man rather than ignore him. Then he asked this question, which gets to the heart of everything. Is it lawful to do good and to save life on the Lord's Day? Is this pleasing to the Lord, or is this a sin? Looking around at them all, he said and did something extraordinary. We see in contrast to their wickedness, this man's faith. Jesus says, "Stretch out your hand." And then St. Luke gives us a very interesting detail. We would expect to hear that his hand was restored and he stretched out and stretched it out, that the cure happened so that he could stretch out his hand. St. Luke says something different. St. Luke, the doctor, says something different. He did so, and his hand was restored. It was first a total act of faith. It was an act of his will. He still didn't have vigor in that withered hand. But when the Lord said, stretch out your hand, even though he didn't have the muscle control yet, he was going to obey in faith. And as soon as he made that act of the will, the hand was restored. And their response was not joy that this man could work again. Not joy at this great miracle. But they were enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. And eventually those thoughts turned to homicide on the Sabbath in the synagogue. Jesus came to restore the true meaning of worship. Jesus was going to give it a new location, literally his body and ours, in our own flesh, in all aspects of our life. And he was going to give it a new focus. The Lord wants us to love God by caring for his lambs and his sheep. To love one another as he has loved us, rather than love him as he has loved us. And therefore, true worship would be shown not just in love of God, but in real concrete love of the neighbor, including on the Lord's Day and especially on the Lord's Day. The Lord Jesus came ultimately and said, if you wish to love me when I'm poor, love me when I'm hungry, thirsty, naked, a stranger, ill, or in prison. That's where real worship would be shown. A lot of the times we can be hardened to that type of worship. We see how the Corinthians had become hardened in today's first reading. It's a very relevant passage for things today. Brothers and sisters, St. Paul says, it is widely reported that there's immorality among you. Lots of it. An immorality of a kind not found even among pagans. This incest of affinity, you'd call it. A man living with his stepmother after his father's death. And he said, you're inflated with pride. This should humble you. You should be ashamed of this type of behavior. It's totally unbecoming of the Lord, but instead, with your chest puffed up and your chin puffed out and your chin up, you continue to go about things as if there's no problem in worship. This person's committing serious sin with somebody else. And you're worshiping right alongside, not because you embrace sinners, but because you don't love sinners. You're letting them just do this without any correction. You're permitting this type of filth. So St. Paul says, and a lot of people misunderstand what this means, from a distance, he pronounces a judgment on the man and says, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. What does this mean? The destruction of the flesh is the destruction of life according to the flesh. It's according to the lower passions. What St. Paul was saying is not let Satan beat the man up, but make it quite clear that this man has already entrusted himself to Satan. He's behaving as a child of evil, not of the Lord, and pronounce it very clearly so that the man knows exactly what state he is in, so that that principle working in his life of living according to his flesh might be exposed for him so that he can convert and be saved when the Lord comes. It's a real act of love to admonish the sinner and to make it absolutely plain what was going on. The Corinthians were puffed up with pride when they should have been humble and confronting the sin in their midst. What's happened in the church in modern times? We have become, in many places, one big Corinth. Ordinary people cannot believe what has been tolerated in the church. Let's just start with the clergy. Unrepented homosexual activity, rampant including in seminaries over the course of decades. Some of it's been fixed up, thanks be to God. In fact, most of it's been fixed in most diocesan seminaries. When people read reports like that came out of the Pennsylvania grand jury, where they saw decades of the type of debauchery which was permitted, they can't believe it. Virtuous pagans just can't understand how people who proclaim to love God and love neighbor and call things sin would permit this type of stuff just to occur. And we can expand it in the church. There are so many Catholics who don't just violate the sixth commandment, but violate the fifth commandment, and are able to come into their parishes and worship just fine with a whole bunch of pride when they're given money and voting for candidates and going for abortions. And yet, many just ignore it. And we'll look at some institutional success and everything else. We don't love our neighbor enough. Our neighbor who's erring. Our neighbor who's being sinned against, abused, or even executed. St. Paul, if he were here today, would be much stronger in his words than he was to the church in Corinth. Because that's what the situation requires. That's what charity requires. He finishes this passage. Do you know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? When you permit this is yeast, when you permit immorality, it doesn't remain isolated. It metastasizes as a spiritual cancer. So you have to address it. You can't be conflict averse. You have to love enough to go straight at it, because otherwise it's going to destroy the whole dough. He says, but there's a different type of leaven. It's the leaven of Christ, the Paschal Lamb who has been sacrificed. And we're called to celebrate the liturgies, not with the old leaven of debauchery, but with the new leaven of sincerity and truth. And there's just been a lot of living lies happening, which is why we're in this present situation. Christ is that new leaven. He is the truth. He wants to strengthen us to live precisely by that principle, but we have to be sincere. Sincere means two things. First, it means that you cut off lies from your speech, that you actually tell the truth. But in Latin, it means to cut off. We basically get sanctus from the same root. It means to cut off from other types of filth. And to be sincere means to be holy, and to call others to that same standard that Christ makes possible. Today, Jesus here comes to make us holy in his holy place. He wants us to unite worship of God with real love for those who are wounded, to call sinners back to repentance and to protect the innocent. And he says to us, especially those parts of us who are withered spiritually and don't immediately see this, don't immediately behave in this way, to say, stretch out your lives. He wants that act of the will first that we want it. And when we show it, like this man in the synagogue, then the Lord will restore us to the full.